Lou Caverly.
And this is Elizabeth Coppett Caverly. And before we give the emergency alert, this is a time when we near Thanksgiving, and this will be our November 18th and 25th broadcast. It is a time when we can all personally give thanks that we still have a modicum of freedom in this country, and we can worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are not Australia yet, and we must pray for our brothers and sisters who are there. And when we talk about hope, we also must keep that doctor in Pennsylvania in our deepest prayers. He has lost his job, but he has taken a stand against the aborted fetal cell shots. And we've just heard about Franklin Graham, the head of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, who talked about Jesus wanting us all to take the shots, and we talked about this on our prior program. He now has had myocarditis following the COVID shots. So you see, it doesn't matter whether you're an ordinary person, not famous, not rich, not on Twitter. It doesn't matter. God is watching over your own very life. And you know that I told about the three times, really four, that God saved Lou's life. And I think, again, if some of you are in hardship, we want to encourage you. We are under strain. Of course we are. We're under financial strain. And we've been helped a little last week, and we will need a great deal more help through December and going into January. So if any of you want to help us, you can send some postage stamps, some cash, a money order, and if it's a check, it has to be written out either to WWCR or to Global Star Communications. And you can send that to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. I think it's very important because we see some New Age teachings cropping up into places where we don't want to see them. There's an emphasis now in the libertarian community especially. And I think that God pulled me out of the New Age very, very much so that I could even go back and reassess. I had idolized Edgar Cayce, and he was called the Sleeping Prophet. And he supposedly was a Christian and taught a Sunday school class. But when I went back and I looked at what the spirit guides had told him, my goodness, it was Freemasonry was the ideal. So you see, there is a lot of chaff passing as wheat. And so I want to tell you again very quickly that heaven is real. The Bible is real. I watched my late father, Charles C. Cuppett. He'd get out his palubits and he would study because he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a rural mail carrier up in the Allegheny Mountains. He'd have to put on his chains on some of those icy mornings. And, of course, he helped people. And he almost lost his job as a newlywed because he picked up a World War I vet without a leg, and it was against the rules. No, he followed the rules of Jesus Christ and the Bible. And so, at any rate, in 1988, when I got very ill with lupus, I did not know I had it. I could not go back to my job. Then I got the flu, and I was bedfast all winter. I wondered whether I would ever get up again. So eventually, in that next spring, I went home, and my father had had shingles. And Lou said, this is how close the two of you were. Your bodies even broke down at the same time. And sitting there at the kitchen table, I looked over, and I thought, my goodness, he's lost so much weight. He was such a robust person. And he's the one that you recall at age 48 had the myocarditis and was very, very ill, but God rebuilt his heart over the next 5 years or so. So I looked over and I thought in my mind, how can I bear to lose you? And out loud, I just stammered like a child would to a parent, Daddy, if we can, whichever one of us dies first, let's send the other one a message. Well, he looked very serious for a moment. Then he sort of chuckled. He says, well, my father said we'd hear from him. And his father lived early in the century, early in the 20th century. He was a banker, and he was a farmer, and he did all these different things. He was a choir director. But, you see, that was kind of an arrogant statement to tell my dad. And, of course, my grandfather I never knew because he dropped dead of a heart attack when my dad was only 12 years old. But he had five older brothers. Some of them were 20 years older. So they had a good influence on helping my father. So at any rate, he said he never heard a word from his dad. Whether he went to heaven, he didn't hear anything. Then I said, do you remember what happened to my cousin? And my cousin was really like his sister. She was born when he was about 6 years old, I think, because he had these older brothers. And in 1976, I made a phone call to her, not knowing it would be the last time I ever spoke with her. And she said, Elizabeth, something strange happened today. The telephone wires were down, and I was out watching the lineman fix it, and I heard my dad's voice just as clearly as if he was standing here. Her dad, my dad's oldest brother, the oldest of the six Cuffett brothers, had been dead over 30-some years. And she said, what he said to me was, come on, Betts. And she explained, that was her little childhood nickname, Betts. And she said, do you think it means I'm going to die? I said, oh, no, of course not. And I thought, she's not going to leave me. I need her so much. We were really like sisters. But about 4 days later, my father called, and he said, don't get too upset. And he told me she had passed away of a sudden heart attack at age 59. She was much older than I was because of this age difference in the children of my grandfather and grandmother. Well, now, bringing it back to this time in early 1989, when I looked over at my dad, after he jokingly said in that Irish way, we didn't hear from my dad, I said, well, do you remember what happened to my cousin and how she heard her dad, Eugene, calling her? And my dad gave that sober look that, Lou, you and I have always often said it looks like some pictures of George Washington.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It's that expression.
It is.
And I knew my dad won't forget this. Well, time passed. Things happened. We moved on. And my dad passed away the last day of the year in 1991. And I had been tutoring some children who lived in a farm back of us here in Maryland. And they sent me flowers. And when the flowers arrived, there was a card with them. But it didn't say my name, which is really Phoebe Elizabeth Cuffett Caverly. It said Susie Phoebe. And Lou saw tears coming on my face, and he said, what is it? And I said, well, you look. And he said, I remember. In the 1980s, when he first knew me and went up to see my parents with me, my dad was still calling me Susie or Susie Q. That was my personal nickname from my dad. Now, I asked Lou, the mathematician, what the odds were of a coincidence like this, that my cousin heard the words, come on, Betts, her little childhood nickname, and then I saw this on this card. And by the way, when we told the farmer's wife, she called up the little flower shop. It's just out here in the boonies, and none of the women could explain anything about it. And then when her bill came, it even said arrangement for Susie. So, you see, we had a student one time sitting in our living room, and he said, I know what happened. They sent the order out. They were getting ready to send the order. And there was a phone call from an angel in heaven, and the angel said, you made a mistake. It should say Susie, Phoebe. So, you see, this is the way it is. This has strengthened me a lot to do this radio work, because when I hear all this New Age malarkey and people who are going to unwittingly use demonic spirit guides, I know what my father believed, and I watched his life, a life that was surrendered to Jesus Christ, and it wasn't always a picnic. He was in bondage to some of those older brothers who traded him to do work for them like a slave. That's just the truth. Not everything in the past was rosy. We can't look at everything through rose-colored glasses. But whatever your suffering is, if you have illness, like the terrible illness that I had for 18 months with Lyme disease, or if you are broke and you don't know where your next food is going to come from, if you turn your life over to Jesus completely and you surrender and you ask him, what would you have me do? He will protect you. We wish that Franklin Graham had been able to tell his flock not to take the COVID shots. And now we must bring these emergency things to you, but I felt that since this is Thanksgiving, we needed to give thanks to Jesus Christ. And Lou, will you make a short prayer thanking him for some hope, some people fighting the evil? Make a prayer for us, Lord.
Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Almighty God, we just pray now for everyone listening, whatever their needs may be. You know each person. You know each thing they need. We thank you above all for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. We just pray now that you will be with all those who have special needs. You know what they are, even if we don't. And I pray that you will meet those needs and turn their hearts to you. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name.
And we give thanks. Excuse me for interrupting, Lord.
Yes.
I am so sorry. We give thanks that our producer's father, who had COVID, is now out of the hospital. And so we give thanks for all of you out there. And without another moment, we must get to these emergency things because we're here to warn you. And please tell your friends, your pastors, your family to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. They will find our newest monologues. Really, I wrote these too, but we're going to plunge right into it. Lou, I think you have my first monologue.
I do, yes. It's entitled, Things That Lie in Wait, November Emergency Alert 1, VCI Smart Health Card Tracks from Cradle to Grave, November 12, 2021, Elizabeth Cuppert Caverly. Longtime conservative journalist Michelle Malkin speaks out November 11, 2021, in an interview with Stu Peters about stealthy introduction of vaccine tracking realities on the American people. Apparently, the fact that vaccine passports are being outlawed in a number of states is not completely comforting after all. Malkin reveals, quote, governors are not telling you how the smart card is coming into the private sector. The smart health card is now approved in five states and countless counties, unquote. Malkin points out, quote, there are taxpayers and parents who have no idea this system has been introduced. It's been in the works for years, unquote. Malkin explains there is a consortium of big tech, big pharma, and companies including Microsoft and Oracle, and institutions including Boston Children's Hospital. This wolf in sheep's clothes masquerades as a private, nonprofit consortium, but it has plenty of federal funding behind it. Malkin designates the VCI, that is Vaccine Credential Initiative, as the linchpin for this new, unprecedented surveillance system. The VCI, explains Malkin, is how the smart health card is making the entire tracking and tracing system interoperable. According to Malkin's research, this system's tentacles are already deeply embedded in many of the American county health agencies and schools. Yes, parents especially have been electrified to learn that the smart health card is in their school. These parents are showing up at school board meetings. Malkin says it is imperative that these parents and all local residents must demand answers from their county health departments. She concludes with this grave alert, quote, look at Singapore as the example which installed a health card and a tracking system. VCI and the smart health card are a way of turning ordinary citizens and individuals, and certainly any children, into lifelong QR codes from cradle to grave, unquote. We must save ourselves now. And now, other hair-raising knowledge is gradually being leaked. Elizabeth and I will share essay monologue two. Elizabeth?
More things that lie in wait. November emergency alert 2, Ebola, Marburg, plandemic coming. November 12th, 2021. This is truly a sobering notification to all of us. The powers of darkness and COVID chaos may not be willing to stop with the COVID gene shot injuries and deaths and the economic destruction caused by COVID lockdowns. Finland's Dr. Arianna Love, in a recent interview, presented startling new information from a Stockholm University study indicting the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine for, quote, bringing on sterility, end of quote, and having what she describes as, quote, components of Ebola and Marburg bacterial, not viral, infections, paving the way for the next pandemic. The Stockholm University study showed that the J&J spike proteins went to the nucleus of the cell, damaging it, deleting God-given genes that are responsible for DNA repair. There is a U.S. patent number 201-400-17275. And again, that's 201-400-17275. The adenovirus serotype 26 and filovirus 35. These vaccines code your cells with Ebola and Marburg proteins. Is this priming for future Ebola or Marburg pandemic assaults, perhaps akin to antibody-dependent enhancement?
Dr. Love describes how the J&J vaccine deletes E1, E3, and E4 genes mentioned in the patents. Dr. Love finds in her research that the deletion of these genes causes, one, AIDS, and two, blood coagulation, thrombosis, and clotting. She says, quote, J&J is using adenovirus 26 vector, which deletes the gene in humans, also known as chromosome X. The E1 gene is required to repair damaged DNA. Without it, your cells will self-suicide, and that's AIDS. They are inducing AIDS, and they are deleting the E1 gene, causing embryonic lethality. That means permanent sterility, unquote. The Finland researcher adds that the deletion of the E1 gene also causes a lack of oxygen in the blood, which can lead to rapid cancer growths. Quote, people who take this vaccine will have a life of chronic illness and neurological dysfunction, unquote. Another patent, U.S. patent 106-9417, is for human adenovirus, vector 5, continues Dr. Love. And this is the quote. It contains the E1, E2B gene deletion, and it's in the patent. This is used by Sinovax and possibly other vaccines. It encodes the cells with Ebola spike protein. More serious cautions continue with Dr. Love's warning that, quote, according to the animal studies, the deletion of the E2B causes sterility in males. The adenovirus 5 vector enters and targets the bronchial and epithelial, which is the lungs, cells. Deleting the E3 and E4 genes to intentionally create long-term autoimmunity, which is AIDS. The deletion of the E3 gene degenerates the brain. It introduces dementia. It causes the gradual loss of memory and judgment and the ability to function, unquote. Dr. Love also says that this gene deletion, as in the J&J vaccine, would result in a chronic respiratory problems and possibly facilitating Epstein-Barr. She notes that the number one side effect of children taking vaccines is the Epstein-Barr virus condition. We know Epstein-Barr has long been associated medically with chronic fatigue syndrome. According to this Finnish researcher, Ebola and Marburg are made with E. coli bacteria, and the future pandemic planners are creating with an abominable brew of fungi. I always have to stop and think, is it fungi or fungi? I've heard of both ways. Bacteria and plasmids. They're also genetically modifying chimpanzee with human, making a cloned species. They then make this hapless chimera very ill. The final step is to take extracts from its rotting flesh. No virus in this mess. Love says they only call it a virus to divert us. This is made with bacteria. E. coli, she informs us, is deadly in 36% of people. According to Love, the U.S. government has been testing this kind of technology since the 1950s, and that the adenovirus 4, 5, and 7 vector is an HIV coding envelope. Nanotechnology has been used. Quote, they're producing infections and making people sick and spreading it. They're using parasites. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine will kill parasites. Graphene oxide is one of, in one vaccine is the reason for flu symptoms.
And Lou, some time back, it was August 23rd, 2021, Health Ranger Mike Adams at naturalnews.com gave a dire set of predictions for this winter of chaos in America. And we're going to see now, almost 3 months later, how much he feared at that time has happened. There will be some good and some bad, I think. First was shocking public awakening to the level of fraud, corruption, and criminality in the swamp. Now, tonight, you will hear about all the athletes coming into almost a demise, at least an invalidism, after the COVID-19 clot shots. And we know now that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a book out, The Real Anthony Fauci. And I think you can get it at Amazon, and you can get it in electronic form at Brighteon.com. Next point, severe engineered shortages of food, ammunition, medical resources, consumer goods, et cetera. Now, that brings up the container ship business. Lou, we're hearing now that the containers were sometimes just dumped in neighborhoods, and they're going to be stored at an airport. Some of these empty containers. And now someone had speculated that pirates might go after some of this stuff, and we hear that some of that's happening. Then yeah. We have the possibility of engineered telecommunications and power grid outages, at least regionally. We certainly hope that won't happen. Mass death and hospitalization among the vaccinated, with hospitals likely overrun by early 2022. And I would add here, what about the increase in traffic accidents in 2021 versus 2020? We heard there was an 18% increase. Now, as a mathematician, do you think that's significant?
Oh, yes, that's very significant. You certainly would not expect that in just a normal, run of things. That's got to be due to some specialized cause.
And we think that this is the eating out of the brain with the prion aspect of the COVID-19 mRNA operating system goals. And so, you know, we can see some of this beginning to hit some of our family members. We've heard about a family member who now gets lost and disoriented. And until a year ago, that person was fine. But that person had a shot. So what's going to happen? And now, we heard about one country yesterday on Mike Adams' situation update that was practically the most vaccinated country in the world. Was that Singapore, do you recall?
I think it probably was.
And anyway, the COVID cases are just exploding now, just completely exploding. Now, the next point, medical martial law enforcement of vaccines, vaccine passports, lockdowns, masks, and speech compliance. There's some pushback against this, even though our government, the leftist, evil Marxist side, would like us to be chased down and put into camps. Now, tell what you heard now about the latest memo and Merrick Garland. All of that.
Yes, this was breaking this morning, and I tried to find something.
And, of course, we're speaking to you here on Wednesday afternoon, right before November 18th.
Yes, that's right. Well, the gist of it was there was some kind of a memo, an email. I can't remember exactly what.
From the FBI, you told me.
Well, yes.
Didn't you?
I think so. Anyway, it was the Department of Justice. It might have been the FBI itself. What it did is gave all these ways in which they could basically criminalize parents who were making too much fuss at school board meetings. Now, of course, we had heard about this previously, but this seems to be much more exact and definite. Now, of course, Mr. Garland, the Attorney General for the USA, said before Congress he had nothing to do with any such thing. Did he lie? Was he uninformed? That seems to be the state of the situation
swamp.
Now. Something we want to keep track of.
Yeah, it's the swamp, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Then activation of FEMA or CDC COVID death camps. Thank God that has not happened. Engineered financial crisis events such as bank holidays, the closing of ATMs, or even a possible dollar collapse. Well, I was concerned yesterday when I heard the news that Janet Yellen has said that the U.S. might default by early December. I think that she possibly is one of the better globalists at the Federal Reserve, because I had read one time about her father was a doctor during the Depression, and I think she has some heart. So I certainly hope this is not ahead. Chaos inside the collapsing U.S. military, Mike Adams said could happen. Well, we see a lot of people standing up, and we think that these mandates may be declared void. We heard some news yesterday about that, too, that the Sixth Circuit judge, I believe, had the case first. Is that right? And then it has moved to the Fifth? Or do I have it reversed?
Just reversed.
Yes, so if this does go to the Supreme Court, there will be standing on this, and we think this may be overturned. This gives you a little microcosm there of what's going on. The collapsing Biden regime will weaponize everything to starve the people and destroy their financial resources if they can. We heard about the old John Deere tractors, the ones made in the 1990s. They're really being scarfed up at auctions. And one man drove something like 22 hours to pay $100,000 for one of these tractors, and then go back into the heartland of the Midwest to use them. Farmers being paid not to grow crops. Chemtrails are heavier than ever. So we have to watch all of this, but we can thank God that we are not Nicaragua yet. So why don't we just move on, Lou, and get right into what's happening?
Yes. NYC, the abortion murder capital of the world, opens at 1,000 COVID vaccine sites to inject young children with biological weapons in mass murder ritual. And I should add, throughout this article, they put the word vaccine in quotes to indicate that this is not a real vaccine.
It's a gene shot. It's a biological weapon.
Exactly. This was by Ethan Huff, Friday, November 12th.
At naturalnews.com.
That's right. New York City, also known as Abortion and Infanticide Central, is setting up special Wuhan coronavirus vaccine sites all across the city to start mass injecting young children as part of the government's ongoing pandemic depopulation ritual. These special pop-up sites are specifically geared for children ages 5 to 11 who are now eligible under Pedo Joe Biden's Build Back Better scheme to take Operation Warp Speed injections from Pfizer, which were introduced by the previous administration. And I should mention, where it says Build Back Better, it has in parentheses the same words, but in place of the B's, it has sixes. And
yes, we commented
like
on
bees.
That before, but that's worth bringing up again.
Yeah, so it looks like 666.
Because we're certainly living in the Antichrist spirit when someone like Dr. Franklin Graham tells us that we should be like Jesus, and Jesus would take these shots. Jesus would not harm these 28 million planned shots into children. He would not have sanctioned this. Your Bible and mine tells us that.
That's exactly right.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. How many of us learned that when we were children? Of course we did.
Yes, that's right.
Go ahead, Lou.
According to reports, more than 1,000 sites are now being set up for this purpose. Many of them at schools. Medical professionals, and that's in quotes, by the way, medical professionals, the mainstream media claims, will be on site at all of them to safely and effectively administer the shots.
Yes, and we're going to get into Loudoun County and what really happened at Ted's Pharmacy, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Go ahead with this, Lou.
And this is a quote. Overall, I guess I just have a little jump in my step, rattled a student named Sylvan Buodu to the local fake news media. Buodu was one of the first children in line to receive the jab. He said, "I'm now just able to do way more things," unquote. CBS New York's Lisa Rosner tweeted a video of masked parents and their children lined up down the street in eager anticipation of getting their little ones injected at warp speed. Outside, and this is in quotes, outside Public School 40 in Manhattan, where parents have been waiting in line, holding a spot for their kids to get vaccinated, since around 7 a.m., Rosner wrote. For a city that is so eager to murder babies, both in the womb, abortion, and out, infanticide, it is strange that the city is suddenly so worried about saving children's lives that it is investing who even knows how many millions of dollars to, quote, flatten the curve, unquote, with this mass injection scheme. Unborn and recently born children have no value whatsoever in New York City. That is, until they are old enough to get injected. At that point, New York politicians suddenly want to save them. Save them from COVID through forced jabbing at a local pop-up tent. It is a conflicting and illogical policy, but some people are apparently falling for it. The very eugenicists who get a thrill out of mass murdering babies now expect us all to believe that they want to save lives by injecting children with mystery chemicals at warp speed. Could it be that the jabs are just infanticide in disguise, except for older children? Since five-year-olds are too old to be legally aborted, perhaps the injections are a barely subtle way of ending these older children's lives incognito in order to avoid raising suspicion. Quote, how long is it? 1 month until they jab their little kids with a second shot? Asked one commenter at Citizen Free Press. And that person goes on to say, they get to learn the truth just before Christmas. I wonder what they will do with the presents with no little ones around Christmas morning. And next we have, from the Western Journal, parents outraged, frightened after children given faulty doses of COVID vaccine. This is by C. Douglas Golden, November 11, 2021. For the second time in less than a week, parents are demanding answers after their children were given the incorrect dose of COVID vaccine. The first incident, however, merely involved two children under 10 years of age in Texas who were given adult doses of the vaccine on October 31st. This time, it involves over 100 children ages 5 to 11 in Loudoun County, Virginia, who were given diluted versions of the vaccine meant for those 12 and older, according to WRC-TV in Washington. Despite the larger number of children who were affected this time, this still isn't national news, in part because it doesn't fit the narrative that the Biden administration is effectively rolling out a vaccine for children, and possibly because Google is trying to starve publications that don't parrot the approved line when it comes to COVID-19 vaccines. We're trying to fight this at the Western Journal, and you can help us in our fight by subscribing, and it gives you a place if you want to subscribe where you can click. On Wednesday, the Virginia Department of Health confirmed that Ted Pharmacy in Aldi, Virginia, administered a diluted version of the inoculation formulated for 12 to 7-year-olds to 112 children younger than 11 on November 3rd and 4th, according to Washington's WTTG-TV. On November 5th, state and federal authorities stepped in and ordered the pharmacy to stop administering the shots. The Virginia Department of Health later collected the remainder of the vaccines at the pharmacy. Dasha Hermosillo's daughter, 7-year-old Griffin Fall, is one of those affected. She told WRC that Griffin was given a diluted dose of the vaccine meant for older kids, which comes with it a purple cap. The dose for the 5 to 11 group comes with an orange cap to differentiate it. The pharmacist said this was allowed. All it took was a Google search for Hermosillo to confirm that it wasn't. And Ms. Hermosillo told the station, quote, nothing says that you can change a purple to an orange. I had this pit in my stomach that, like, what did they just do to my daughter? She also criticized how the pharmacy treated parents after it happened. And this is also her quote, the way they have dealt with individuals is really like Oh, it's no big deal, Kermasoa said. There are dozens and dozens of families out there that don't even know that this is an issue. She wasn't alone. A WRC reported another mom sent News 4 a screen grab of a Facebook conversation in which the pharmacy admitted to the mistake and apologized for the quote-unquote inconvenience. According to WRC, the Loudoun County Health Department released an alert after the station reported Hermosilla's case, acknowledging the incident. The letter stated that the formulation used resulted in the affected children receiving, quote, a dose of COVID-19 vaccine that is potentially lower than recommended, unquote. And the letter also said, quote, the pharmacy who administered the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccination to your child last week has been removed from both state and federal COVID-19 vaccination programs. And that was the letter from the Loudoun County Department of Health, Director David Goodfriend. And he said that in the letter.
Virginia's Board of Pharmacy, meanwhile, said it is, quote, not at liberty to confirm nor deny whether an investigation into a possible violation of a law or regulation is or is not underway. Should an investigation reveal there is probable cause to believe a law or regulation was broken, an informal conference or a formal hearing before the board may be held for consideration of possible disciplinary action, the board said in a statement. The board's findings of fact and resulting actions are contained in a board order that becomes a matter of public record available online on the Board of Pharmacy's website under License, Lookup, and Recent Case Decisions. It's unclear what this means for the children. As the County Health Department's letter stated, the pharmacy's action meant the children likely received a lower dose than they ordinarily would have. Even still, Goodfriend's letter said parents should first contact their pediatrician for clinical judgment and decision-making to determine the best course of action for each patient. The letter also urged parents to watch for the traditional COVID-19 vaccine side effects, such as fever, chills, fatigue, or pain or swelling at the site of the injection. If any additional or more serious side effects occur or are prolonged, contact your primary care provider or pediatrician, the letter warned. Parents were then told to log the event in the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's guidance says parents can either restart the vaccine series in 21 days or wait for a second dose with the orange cap as scheduled. What? This is Elizabeth reacting in shock. Restart the vaccine series in 21 days? Any parent who does that has too much mercury in his or her brain. In this case, the danger seems less pronounced than it was during a similar incident on October 31st in Garland, Texas, where a 6- and a 7-year-old were both given adult doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine before a child formulation had even been approved. I have to ask, was that a Halloween sacrifice? Was that planned? Back to the article, they asked us our kids' ages, and so we told them 4 and 6, and they said, the 6-year-old can obviously get it if you'd like to go ahead and do that. Julian Gonzalez, the father of the 6-year-old, told KTVT-TV in Fort Worth, going off their confidence in what we read on the form, we were all for it, he said. The next day, however, they were contacted by the Garland Health Department, alerting them that the vaccine hadn't been approved for their son, but they'd received adult dosages. A dose for ages 5 to 11 is 10 micrograms, while an adult version contains 30 micrograms. Gonzalez's son experienced some side effects, while the mother of the 7-year-old said he was fine. The case in Virginia is worrying for a different reason. It involved 112 children getting faulty vaccinations over a 2-day period. And people wonder why some parents are skeptical about vaccinations. Now, this is Elizabeth again. Lou, 112 children getting the wrong vax shots, a slip-up, or a plan to harm. Over the 2-day period, well, we have an update. Tuesday, November 16th, from Natural News, the headline said, shocker, Virginia pharmacy staff suspected of purposely injecting over 100 children with adult version of COVID-19 shot. Here are some of the indicting bullet points about Ted Pharmacy in Loudoun County, Virginia. First, parents later verified the already questioned staff just before they stabbed it into their children to make sure it was the right one. The adult version has a purple cap, the child's an orange. So in other words, the parents later said they had questioned the staff just before it happened. Number two, one mother told parents she noticed a staff member about to give her daughter the wrong one. So she spoke up, getting the pharmacist. And so the pharmacist just went right on and jabbed her with the wrong one. So in other words, we get our children injected regardless of what the parent asks. That's pretty bad. Number four, Loudoun County Health Department refrained from alerting parents until after a parent blew the whistle on the local news. And another pharmacist told a mother who questioned the color coding with the adult cap, you know, being different, being a different color than the orange cap, that it basically doesn't matter which color the cap is, and it's okay. So that's kind of the story of what's happening there. It's not real great, is it?
It is not, and it just, I think, ties in with some of the other things we've been hearing about eroding parents' rights. You know, parents have always been assumed to be in charge of their children as long as they're good parents. But that seems not to be the case anymore. The government seems to be just becoming more and more and more dominant over the parents.
That's for sure.
Now, the next thing we have is some LifeSite news. New York City to pay school kids $100 to get COVID shot. New York's pro-abortion mayor, Bill de Blasio, said children ages 5 to 11 will be eligible for a $100 incentive for getting the experimental COVID-19 jab. This was by Ashley Sadler, Wednesday, November 10th, 2021.
And didn't you have something that you compared to Maryland?
Oh, yes, yes, I did. Yeah, this is like the CDC is like the venomous Jesuit-founded rattlesnakes. And the traitorous counties, yeah, like Loudoun, are indeed like the baby snakes.
But I thought you had something that you were talking to me about what happened here in Maryland. It was, you know, just these little things, these incentives, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah. Not so long ago, they hit the plan here that you could get a free Lido's pizza. And for those who aren't familiar with that, that was one of the best pizzas I ever ate in my life.
Oh, yes. And also, when that didn't work, then they used the lottery.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, this CDC, let's find out about this Jesuit rattlesnake.
Yes.
What you were saying?
This was Dateline New York City. New York City is now offering $100 incentives to encourage young children to get jabbed with a COVID-19 shot after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, voted last week to approve the injections for children between the ages of 5 and 11. In a press conference last week, New York's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio discussed the $100 payouts to be awarded to children who get the shot, saying, "We really want kids to take advantage, families to take advantage of that." The push to vaccinate young children comes despite the fact that children face extremely low risk from COVID-19. This, combined with the thousands of reports of serious adverse events and deaths following the jabs, has led numerous experts to criticize the push to inject children with the experimental shots. The financial incentive, which has been offered by the city to adult New Yorkers since July, was extended to children after a CDC panel unanimously voted to recommend Pfizer's mRNA COVID-19 jab for the 5 to 11-year-olds on November 2nd, making some 28 million U.S. children eligible for the experimental shot. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky tweeted out last week, quote, "Parents, I know you're eager to get your child vaccinated against COVID-19. She also said the distribution of the vaccine started this week and will be available at full capacity next week. I encourage parents to talk to your pediatrician about the importance of getting your child vaccinated, unquote. Just a day after the CDC recommended the abortion-tainted shots for young children, Mayor de Blasio announced New York's public schools would immediately begin rolling out Pfizer shots to the newly eligible young children. Quote, in each of our schools that has kids in that 5 to 11-year-old range, we are going to have a day for each school when vaccination is provided at the school building itself. That will start next week, and we will carry it over into the following Monday. And de Blasio added that parents would be required to accompany their children to get the shot, or at least provide verbal consent over the phone. In another press conference the following day, de Blasio stated that children newly eligible for the Pfizer drug will also be eligible to receive a $100 incentive for getting the inoculation. The mayor said, quote, we really want kids to take advantage and families to take advantage of that. Everyone can use a little more money around the holidays, but more importantly, we want our kids and families to be safe, unquote.
And, you know, I have to interject about the money. We also heard Mike Adams yesterday comment, I believe that it was Pfizer, is making something like $68,000 every minute.
I think
so
that's right.
It isn't about these families getting a lot more money, a lot more well-being. But go ahead. We must move on.
Yes. Nonprofit public education news site Chalkbeat reported that elementary school-aged children will get the COVID-19 jab at either a school vaccine clinic or a city clinic in any of New York's five boroughs. And they will now be eligible for the $100 incentive that the city has offered since late July to new vaccine recipients getting their shots at city-run sites. Quote, once children get their first dose, families will receive an email with instructions on how to select a prepaid $100 debit card or another incentive, including free tickets to sporting events or city attractions, the outlet reported. Almost 17,000 New York City children between the ages of 5 and 11 have gotten their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine at a public school vaccination site since last Thursday.
As Stu Peters says, get your kids out of the schools. Get your kids out and homeschool. These dirty bribes, they're disgusting.
They certainly are.
Go ahead.
And let's see, Maud Maron, an independent candidate for the New York City Council, told the Daily Caller that while, quote, parents who want to vaccinate young kids have that option now, anyone who believes their kids jabbed will restore normalcy has not been paying attention. She went on to say, teens were promised to return to normalcy if they were vaccinated. That has not happened. Middle and high school kids are masked in class, limited in sports participation, and cut off from normal school experiences like dances and plays. Jean Hahn, a New York City mom, also spoke with the Daily Caller, expressing concern about the experimental shots, lack of long-term safety data, and suggesting the $100 incentive to get the jabs seems, quote, like a bribe, unquote. Hahn said, quote, it is unknown how it will impact kids who haven't transitioned through puberty. The mayor's monetary incentive is also strange. If it's safe, then does this offer of $100 seem like a bribe?
It certainly does. And we must move on because
yes,
there are more things involved in this picture. Here's another headline from Natural News. Pfizer secretly added heart attack drug to children's COVID vaccines, but why? Well, Dr. Peter McCullough's words of warning about children getting myocarditis, I think, tell us exactly why. So Ethan Huff was writing about a newly released document that showed Pfizer added this secret heart attack drug to the children's version of the COVID-19 vaccine. And the name of this drug is tromethamine. And it would be used instead of the phosphate-buffered saline that was in the previous formulation, and it excludes sodium chloride and potassium chloride. Now, there are side effects to this drug itself, too. I think some of the side effects can be respiratory depression, local irritation, tissue inflammation, injection site infection, febrile response, chemical phlebitis, venospasm, that's vein spasms, hypervolemia, IV, thrombosis, extravasation with possible necrosis. Now, I recognize that word. That means death to the tissues and sloughing of tissues. There's more there. Hypoglycemia, hepatic necrosis, that would mean liver death. So, we just have our children. They're little guinea pigs. And now we must move on a little bit to see how the media is doing bad things. Don't you have something there about Sesame Street?
I do, from World Net Daily. The title, A2, Big Bird, Vaccine Mandate Creep Comes for Our Kids. This was by Matt Keener, November 10th. They are coming for the 5 to 11-year-olds. That should be the realization of any critical thinker. With the FDA expanding its emergency use authorization approval of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old, and the unleashing of propaganda clearly aimed at those children, as well as the parents of that age group. If the past is any predictor of the future, this vaccine and mandate creep is headed in the direction of the children, and the children are worth fighting for. Over the weekend, Big Bird, a giant yellow puppet for the public broadcasting station, came out to publicly push and propagandize for the vaccine. Let's see now. That puppet, Big Bird, said, "I got the COVID-19 vaccine today. My wing is feeling a little sore, but it'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me and others healthy."
Diabolical, isn't it?
It is.
And we've
heard
some commentators allege that there's a lot of pedophilia around Sesame Street, too. So we're just living in a reeking den of iniquity is what we are. And we heard a young black woman who came on also on the Internet who talked about the sex trafficking that related back very similarly to Kathy O'Brien's book, The Transformation of America, in which she described her life from being a child through the time being raped by various presidential figures and vice presidential figures. And if we think this isn't going on, this young black woman also said MK Ultra exists. And in Kathy O'Brien's book, there were involvement sites, Jesuit involvement sites here too. So there's a lot going on, and the evil is so great that the 200,000 children who disappear every year, a lot of them may be in these tunnels this woman described. She described some of our figures who have been recent presidents. She did say that she did not see Trump there. Thank God for that. Let's pray that he wakes up and has remorse about these children and the vaccines. We heard that his own son was injured by vaccines, probably like an autism. Where is Trump? Where is his morality? God wanted him to be a born-again Christian president. And something happened. He can still repent. Perhaps God will give him another chance. We don't know at our level. But we do know that we cannot have this kind of TV turned on for children either. Turn off your TV, for goodness sake. This thing preying on the children's sympathy about my wing. What was it? My wing is broken, but it'll heal.
Yes, my wing is feeling a little sore. That'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me and others healthy.
Yeah, that's a little different from myocarditis.
Oh, it also goes on
from convulsions.
It also goes on to say, too, and this is still Big Bird talking, he even said, "I've been getting vaccines since I was just a little bird. I had no idea." And it goes on to say, it wasn't just the bird. Elmo, too, got into the cringe-worthy act, tweeting, "It must be presumed, to parents as much as children." Quote, Elmo was so happy to talk to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, at CNN.
Oh, yes.
That's right, at the town hall today.
Mr. Sanjay Gupta.
What could be better? Elmo learned that Elmo's friends can get the COVID-19 vaccine now. And soon Elmo can, too.
And I have a little more on that, too, looking
Good.
At another article. You know, Gupta elaborated, COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older. And the more people who get them, the better we're going to be able to help stop the spread of COVID and keep everyone healthy. And that's just like Dr. Franklin Graham's exhortation to be like Jesus and to do like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, I wonder if we have found out a little bit what God might do. Was there any news on Gavin Newsom's condition?
No, that remains a kind of a mystery. The governor of California disappeared. He claimed that it was because his kids wanted him to go out trick-or-treating on Halloween night. But, of course, he was gone for something like 13 days, hardly necessary to go trick-or-treating. And he skipped a big conference. He had just gotten, I think, the booster shot. I think that was in Elizabeth, if I remember rightly. So it just doesn't add up.
No, and they're going to be pushing these booster shots. You know, here's a strange irony. We're talking about how God is involved in our lives every minute. You know that, listener? Listeners, he is. I turned this page over because to economize, we have to reuse paper. And when I turned it over, I'm looking at Sky Palma, The Raw Story, March 25th, 2021 again. Heresy. Franklin Graham's followers revolt after the evangelical leader says Jesus would get the COVID vaccine. And it tells how he went on Facebook this Wednesday and endorsed it, saying that if Jesus were alive today, he'd definitely take it. A bit of speculation that invoked an angry response in the comments thread that opened up beneath his post. And so he says, my opinion was, if Jesus were physically walking on earth now, that I would have to say yes, Jesus Christ would advocate for people using vaccines and medicines to treat suffering and save lives. No, we're not part of the One World Church. No, and you aren't either. You wouldn't be listening to this program. Tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and read the new essays, Are We Being Set Up for Marburg and Ebola? We must get this out, we must get this word out, and we must pray, and we must all repent, each one of us, every day. And perhaps God will restore America, not building back better with the 6666, but through our deepest repentance and remorse. May your Thanksgiving be blessed by Jesus Christ. Good night.